as another day. An average Sunday when things that we do on Sunday goes on. We get up early, we press our clothes, we get our children together, we fight with our children, at least that's how it is in our family. But we finally get out the door. Actually, I'm the one that she's fighting with to get ready. But we get out the door, we come to church, and we put on the smile and the amen face, and we go around and we speak joy to one another. Now that is a wonderful experience. But on the average day, we don't consider very much of what God has for us. But there's nothing normal about today. Everything has to work just right for you to survive. Think about everything that has to happen in your body, your heartbeat. Everything that has to happen just right for you to survive. I know that many of you don't have far to drive to come to church on a Sunday morning, but some of you that have to drive a distance, think about this. You're driving 65, well, let's be honest, it's more like 78, but you're driving 65 miles down the road just feet away from cars coming in the opposite direction. All it takes is for somebody to try to text or somebody to answer a cell phone or try to change the station on the radio and to swerve just a little bit and life is over. It's actually pretty scary when you think about it. It's all about timing. And I'm here today to let you know that it's not about us and circumstances and situations, but it's about God's timing in our lives. In James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." When you think about it, that is a little disconcerting. But even after we read those verses and we come to the reality of what those verses have to say, that we could vanish at any moment, that perhaps we could die today, the reality of that doesn't set in. Quite recently, I had a situation, and actually, we had a situation in our family where Michelle's uncle passed away suddenly. Perfect health, 52, went to the gym, was the perfect specimen, and always on my case to get in shape, but the perfect specimen of health. He kind of has, what he says, some trouble breathing, goes to bed that night, and at 3 a.m. in the morning, has a massive heart attack. Now, praise God, Uncle Danny knew the Lord and is now rejoicing in heaven with the angels. But the fact still remains that life is a vapor. You see, life is too precious for us not to make some strong determinations about how we're going to live our life. How we really understand and experience our relationship with the Lord. God is calling each one of us to deepen our relationship with Him. A little while back, I was in Jamaica. And like all the other tourists, I wanted to go out and get into the surf. And I started to get into the surf, and the surf really wasn't even chest high until you got to this buoy that was there. And not more than 1 foot past that buoy was a drop off. If I wanted to go any farther in the water, I had to swim. I had to make the decision to swim. And what happens is, some of us have become experts. Some of us have become experts in maneuvering in the shallow waters. We know exactly how to just go back and forth to maintain our lives without getting beyond that buoy. We know what it takes to do everything that we can do without getting too deep. But what I'm here to share with you today is that in the Scripture, in Psalms 42 verse 7, it says, "Deep calls to deep. In the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me." Deep calls unto deep. God is calling each one of us to continue on the journey, to walk farther and farther, to get beyond just chest level, but to get out in the deep waters and to swim and to trust Him and to maneuver our lives so that He can be glorified in our lives. He wants us to go further than we've ever gone before. Now, right now, I want to say one thing. If you're feeling uncomfortable at this point in the sermon, that's probably the Spirit of God speaking to your heart. So I want to say that I would encourage you to listen deeply, not to the words that I say, but the words that the Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. The dirt road slide. He is calling you to walk the road of a disciple, not just a follower. Let me explain. A follower is someone who earnestly invites Jesus into their heart, and from that point on, lives a life to their understanding glorifies God. And I'm glad as I look out over the congregation this morning, I can see that most of you are assured of that relationship. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it talks about following after Christ as a guide. "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. You've got to put that slide together. "I will make you fishers of men." God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a direction that He wants to take you, to bring you to a higher level. He doesn't want us just to stay where we are. Praise God, He accepts us right where we are today. But He wants to move us further. He wants us to follow Him. In John chapter 28, it says, "So Jesus said, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me to speak.'" Speaking only the words that the Father would have us say. Having that kind of attitude, that we're going to say only what the Father would have us to say. Now, I know me, and I know my big mouth. And I know I'm going to interject a lot of my own opinion, even in when I'm trying to speak what the Lord would have me to say. But the principle here is this. That as we draw closer to Him, as we spend more time with Him, as we desire a relationship of intimacy with Him, that we would come to the place where we would speak only what the Father would have us to say. But you learn, and daily, as you spend time with God, that it's a priority with Him that you listen for His Spirit, that you pray, that you read His Word. And as you do those three things, you're able to swim a little bit better. You're able to go a little bit farther. You're able to experience a little bit more. I believe, and as the care team met this morning, Boy pointed out that we're at a place in our church where the Lord just wants to pour down His Spirit on us. We are at a place in our church life, in this place, in Grace United Methodist Church, where the power and the Spirit of God can pour down on us, and we can see a great fluctuation, not just in numbers, not just in power, not just in what the outward people might see, but that we're in a place, we're in a pinnacle place, where if we'll just go a little farther, we'll see God do miraculous things. And if you believe that, you got to follow deep unto deep. You got to follow deep unto deep. My question is this. Are you living your life as if He's coming back today? I'm reminded of two stories. The first story is of a businessman who, out of the blue, decides at a CEO meeting that when it's his opportunity to get up and share his report, that he's going to share his report. And at the end of his report, he began to share about the love of Jesus Christ. He laid out the plan of the gospel. People were looking at him like he was crazy. This is not what goes on at a board meeting. But he had such an unction in his spirit that he was to share the plan of Christ that he did that. Shared the love, the peace, the joy. He didn't do it in a harsh manner. But he shared those things. He went back to his seat. And he died. The pastor was immediately contacted, went and met the family at the home, and was kind of ministering to the son. And the son said, "I'm so proud of my dad. He did exactly what God told him to do." And it changed the way that that congregation looked at evangelism. There's also a story of a young girl who went to church camp, similar to the camp that we take our kids to, Heatwave, but went to that kind of a camp. And while she was at that kind of a camp, she felt the Lord speaking to her that she needed to have a radical relationship with Jesus Christ, that when she went back to school that she needed to evangelize those people at her school. She needed to reach out to them with the love of Jesus Christ. She was a timid young girl, but she went and she faithfully shared the gospel with the people she came in contact with. She felt that she needed to do more than just share, but she wanted to put something in their hands. So she used her babysitting money to buy Bibles to give to the people that she talked to. Several of the local youth pastors found out what she was doing, and they gave her boxes upon boxes upon boxes of Bibles, where it was reported through what I was reading, that their garage was just full of boxes of Bibles. And her ministry just began to prosper. Notice how I said teenagers, ministry. Teenagers can be involved in ministry. Teenagers can have ministries. Amen? but her ministry began to prosper. Well, one Friday night after a football game, she was in a car accident where the car was totaled and everyone in the car died. At the funeral, there was over 1,000 people there to pay their last respects to Cassie. The minister got up, shared the gospel, did a wonderful job with the funeral, gave an altar call. At the end of the altar call, 350 young people came to the altar. Every single one of them got a Bible out of the Bibles that Cassie had. God can use even the senseless acts of an accident to minister His gospel, to minister His love, to minister to those that are hurting. I had an opportunity to speak with a young man not too awfully long ago who was in a situation where a family member of his was passing away, and he was asking me, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why does it have to happen now? And he was going on and on about this. And as I shared scriptures of comfort, as I tried to unveil the plan of God for his life, I was left with having to share with him that it's in God's perfect timing that he calls each one of us home. You can't add or delete one day from your life. God knows exactly where you are. God desires to set us free to worship and to serve Him in the way that the Holy Spirit guides and directs. He might be calling you today. What is God's purposeful plan for you? What is God calling you to do? The Word of God says that He's coming back for a spotless bride. Amen. He's coming back. And that's exactly what we as a congregation and as individuals should be living for. So whether the coming of the Lord splits the sky wide open, or whether He calls us home individually, we will be ready. You are the only one who knows the condition of your heart. My challenge to you this morning, as Tim comes back up to play, my challenge to you this morning is that if the Lord is calling you, if the Lord is speaking to you, if the still small voice is getting louder and louder and louder, that you need to make a decision. Whether it's a first-time decision or whether it's just a decision of growth and development with Him, then I want you to know that this altar is open. Let us stand and sing as Tim leads us, and as you feel compelled, please come to the altar.